Praise God, we are on the series How to be Led by the Spirit of God. And if you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Mark chapter 2. Gospel of Mark chapter 2. Last week we talked about perceiving, receiving in our spirit man, how our spirit man can discern and can pick up things from God. But we have emphasized how when the spirit man picks it up, is precept upon precept, line upon line. And we cannot know all things at one time if we are picking up by the spirit man. However, when you receive things through a gift of the Holy Spirit, God can give quite some details. That's the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, we are not going to the voice of the Holy Spirit yet. The first part we have covered is the inward witness and how the inward witness is in the five sensation and what it senses, like it's not a voice. And then we cover on the inward voice of the spirit man. We have not gone into the voice of the Holy Spirit yet. We have touched on the inward voice of the spirit man. And in the inward voice of the spirit man, we have talked about the mind of the spirit and how it comes and in great detail. And so today we have touched a little bit more as we finish on the inward voice of the spirit man before we go to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And we want to see what it means to perceive in the spirit, what it means to receive and pick up things in the spirit like the Lord Jesus. So let's turn to the Gospel of Mark chapter 2. Gospel of Mark chapter 2. Let's read verse 8. It says, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Notice that when the Bible says Jesus perceived in his spirit, it is always in reference to his spirit man perceiving. It has nothing to do with the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking directly. As we have mentioned, what our spirit perceives is indirectly from the Holy Spirit, but not directly. And it's what the spirit man picks up from the Holy Spirit. But as far as we are concerned, when the message is relayed to us, it's a perception of our human spirit. There are other verses that talk about how Jesus perceived their thoughts and Jesus perceived things. So it is in reference to Jesus' spirit man operating. His spirit man is able to reach forth and perceive, pick up some things. And that is especially in reference to his spirit man. Now, the spirit man can perceive different things in different ways. Where if the spirit man just perceived a tangibility of the spirit man, it would have been an inward witness. But when the spirit man begins to hear from the spirit man, from the spirit realm, and speak and convey to our mind, that would be an inward voice operating in our lives. And so let's look at some things that have taken place in the Bible. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 8, so in the Gospel of Mark, we mention how everything Jesus perceived is through his spirit man. Now let's look at Luke chapter 8. Gospel of Luke chapter 8, verse 46. Jesus said, somebody touch me, for I perceive power going out from me. And there's a perception there. The word perceive is used. Jesus said he perceived power going out from him. His perception was not in reference to physical knowledge, because the woman did not touch his skin, which has nerve cells. Or the woman touched his garments. Normally, if somebody just touched your garments, you wouldn't know. In those days, they wear long robes, and so it would be easy to touch the garments without touching the skin, right? And so the woman just touched the edge of his garment, and there was no physical way by which Jesus would have known it. Yet in the spirit realm, because power has flown up from Jesus, Jesus perceived that something has happened. There was a healing virtue going out from him. As we get sensitive to the spirit realm and the spirit man within us, whenever you minister to people, whether to preaching, teaching, or ministry of laying on of hands, you could perceive in your spirit whether power goes out from you or not. Sometimes, one evangelist who recently has been with us told me how he went to a certain church, and he says when he ministered and he preached, he felt like he was preaching in a tunnel, and the people were not receiving, the people were not open, and it was like preaching to a wall minus the echo. And he felt that heaviness in his spirit. See, what he was perceiving was that the power was not being received, the word of God. You could pick it up when we could train our spirit man to pick up whether there's a flow or there's no flow. The next time you visit the hospitals, be sensitive to the spirit man. As you share scriptures, as you counsel a person, pick up in your spirit whether it's flowing or not. Whether a person is receiving. If the person is not receiving, you're wasting your time. It would have been far better for you to just pray for the person, a general prayer, or maybe a more specific prayer like God helping them to understand further. It would have been more beneficial. We have to be sensitive to our spirit man, for our spirit man can perceive, can pick up some things inside us. The Bible uses different words for the word perceive. There are three Greek words. Oh, here comes the Greek again. But it's useful for us to know. Three Greek words that are normally used for the word perceive. In Luke chapter 8, in this particular verse that we have just read, the word perceive is a normal word, ginosko, which means to know. To know. And ginosko speaks about knowing, not only in the spirit man, but a knowing that comes to the understanding and to the mind. So there was a great degree of Jesus' perception. Jesus is, I would say, in the Bible, the only one who has developed himself and his spirit man to such an extent that when he knows in his spirit, he knows in his understanding perfectly. Sometimes we know in the spirit, but we don't know in the understanding perfectly. And Jesus knows. He completely understood what it was about. Notice that Jesus didn't just perceive power. He perceived that power had gone out. He perceived that somebody has been healed. Look at the question that he asked. In the book of Luke chapter 8, verse 46, he says, "Somebody touch me, for I perceive power going out from me." He knew that there was a healing that took place. His understanding of what his spirit man was perceiving was perfect. Is the word ginosko is used. Ginosko. He knew perfectly. He knew without a shadow of a doubt. He perceived it perfectly. There's another scripture here. We look at the Gospel of Luke chapter 9. Verse 47. Let's read 46, 47. "Then a dispute arose among them as to which of them would be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a little child and set him by him." It tells us that there was a quarrel among the disciples. Jesus was coming to the end of his manifested ministry to the disciples and in Israel, and he was going to go to Jerusalem soon. The Bible tells us that the disciples thinking or interpreting that the Messiah would come and set up the kingdom began to argue who was to be the prime minister, who was to be the one next to him. They liked to have some glory. And while they were arguing, Jesus picked it up. He perceived ginosko. He perceived, the word ginosko is used, that there was this dispute among them. They didn't tell him that. Notice how strong the perception was. It was complete knowledge. He uses the word ginosko. Sometimes when you visit a home or a place, you perceive that there's strife. Nobody tells you, but your spirit picks it up. Whenever I go and minister in any church, I could straight away pick up whether they are structurally sound or not. Whether their leadership setup is in harmony or in disharmony. You could pick it up in your spirit. Without anybody telling you at all. The spirit can perceive. We can pick up information. And for Jesus, the level he operated was perfect. He understood what his perception was. See, for us, as we're growing still onto perfection, sometimes our spirit perceives, but our mind doesn't understand yet. Our spirit perceives, our mind has no comprehension. We get it line upon line, precept upon precept. Only in Jesus' case do you see the word straight away being used as ginosko. He perceived. He perceived perfectly. He knew what it was about. He understood. The fact that he knew what they were quarreling about. See, sometimes you pick up strife, but you don't know what the strife is about. You could go to a place or home or anywhere, and you pick up that there's strife, but you do not know what the strife is about. You just know that there's disharmony. But Jesus, when he picked up the strife, it is the word ginosko used, he perceived and he completely understood what he perceived. There's understanding. Ginosko is always used for the soul. Soul comprehension, perfectly. His soul perfectly understood his spirit. And Jesus knew what they were also striving about. He knew about the strife and he knew what the strife was about. The strife was about which one of them was the greatest. And he straight away took a little child and says, if any one of you want to be great, let him be like a little child. See, he knew what they were striving about, and he brought an answer to their strife straight away. Sometimes that can happen if we tune ourselves to our spirit man. Our spirit man is able to know more, far above what our mind is able to know. However, unless it communicates to our mind, the perception is only to a certain extent. Like for example, if you perceive disharmony in a home that you're going to counsel and you're going to visit, when you perceive it, you don't know what is it about. It could be 1,001 things under the sun. Right? People could fight over finances, people could fight over time, people could fight over usage of things, people fight over space, everything. 1,001 things people could fight over. You wouldn't be able or know in what particular area yet. All you could sense is disharmony, and you probably minister generally. It would be good if we could tune ourselves to the extent to perceive, to understand ginosko. Say ginosko, which means to know perfectly with understanding the things that are being strived about. And you could pick it up. And through development of our spirit man, we could actually train ourselves to be very specific. Especially in the field, whatever field or experience you're in. See, whatever field or experience we are in, we could train ourselves in that area. And being experienced in church ministry, church life, and going to hundreds and hundreds of different churches, the moment I step into a church, I will know straight away whether there is a structural fault or not in the church. I not only pick up whether there is disharmony, I will pick up whether the structure is working okay. And it's more specific. Perhaps you're working in the field of accountancy. And you not only work at it with your mind, with your training, with your education, but because you're born again Christian, you try to apply spiritual principles and you try to operate on a higher law. And so what happens is you have an added advantage. You are not only working with the soul and with the flesh as the world does. You work with your spirit and with your renewed mind. So sometimes you look at a case, right? Your spirit picks up something. And you know there's some areas not right in the accounting areas. Your spirit picks it up. And if you could reach the stage of ginosko, like Jesus, you will know specifically which area to check into. Which area of audit is not done properly. Which area there's some cover up, right? It solves a certain situation. You could be an electrical man, electrical engineer. In the field that you're trained in, and your knowledge is that to a certain extent, and your training is there, your education is there. Now, as you begin to apply the spirit principles, we're talking about how to be led by the spirit in our daily life. We're not just talking about how to be led by the spirit when you stand up to minister, when you preach the word of God, when you pray for the sick. No, that includes that. Now, let's face it. God is a practical God. He will lead us in all the practical things of life. He'll lead you in how to get a job. He'll lead you into what field of education to move into. He'll lead you in doing your work to the highest extent possible. He will lead us in whatever vocation we are in. When King David was a king, I'm sure he sought God for all the affairs of his kingdom. When Daniel was a prime minister, I'm sure he sought God in his affairs that he has. So whatever vocation we are in, we can be led by the Spirit. For example, you could be an electrical engineer. So there are problems that people give to you. And sometimes natural engineers try and they could not solve the problem. You try to work at a problem and you seek to work at a problem from your spirit. You allow your spirit man to perceive, to pick up some things. So the spirit man, through your training in that area and through your usage and application of the spirit man in that area, you could pick up some problem. Perhaps they could not detect a circuit problem that you could detect in your spirit man. That's how powerful training our spirit man is. It's just like training the mind, but more powerful. We realize that an untrained mind will miss something. But there are blessings of a trained mind, a mind trained to in skills, in areas. How much more the training of the spirit man to perceive, ginosko, which means to perceive perfectly with a conscious mind. You know everything. You understand the problem, you understand the situation, and you know the solution to the problem. Your spirit man could perceive straight away. And so let's go now to the Apostle Paul. He perceived. There are three occasions when the Apostle Paul perceived with his spirit man. Three occasions when he perceived in the spirit. Not only the incident in the book of Acts chapter 28, there is more than that. Acts chapter 27. The first occurrence that is mentioned of Paul perceiving is found in Acts chapter 14. Look at Acts chapter 14. Verse 8. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently, and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." And he leapt and walked. The Bible says in verse 9, Paul, seeing that he had faith to be healed, he perceived, he saw that he had faith to be healed. The word translated in the New King James is the word see. He saw his faith. The Old King James put perceive. Some translation also use perceive. The reason they translate the word as see instead of perceive is because it uses a different Greek word, and the Greek word horao, which means to see. But it is perceiving in the realm of sight. You remember when we started this series, we talked about how our spirit man has five senses. You remember that? You still remember that? It seems like a long time ago. A lot of interruptions in between, but we did mention that. Just as our physical man has five senses, the sense of sight, the sense of hearing, the sense of smell, the sense of taste, and the sense of touch. So the spirit man also has five senses. If right now you were to die and go to heaven, you would still be able to see, hear, touch, smell, and taste in heaven. Of course we have to experience that, otherwise you won't enjoy heaven. Doesn't mean when you go to heaven you become a cloud. Just a form of existence, and you float about. So in heaven, I see a mist of cloud coming and say, here comes Brother James. Right? No, we will still look like, you know, our physical being, except it's in its perfect state. Notice that when we teach on how to be led by the Spirit, the five sensations of the Spirit man, we focus only on touch. Touch. The area of touch. See, the sensations we sense are touch. Hot, cold, right? Trouble, stirring. All these are touch. Heaviness, lightness. These are touching in our spirit man. And there are other aspects of the spirit man, the sense of sight, the sense of hearing. Now, the sense of smell in the spirit realm is also linked to the sense of touch. Right? The olfactory senses are linked to that area. And you hear people smelling demons. Praise God. I might want evangelists to operate that way. Thank God I don't operate that way. Right? And so one day I was walking on the way to a little stall at some supper. That was in Penang days, and he was with me. And we were walking from the church to the stall, which is about a 15-minute walk. We passed by a person, and the evangelist sort of had a reaction. He goes this way, he jerked, and he said, and then we continued walking. And I said, what happened? Did the Spirit of God came on you? He said, no, just smell a demon. You know, somebody passed by, and he has this kind of demon. And so that was his special ministry. Some of you may have that. Praise God. The next time you minister, you go. Right. Now, it's not only works in the negative, but it works in the positive. But sometimes you smell the fragrance of the Lord. Right. I would include that among the five senses. Right. I will include that among the five senses. It works together. See, the sense of taste, touch, and smell all work together in the spirit realm. I will include them all under the sensations of the spirit man. Why? Because they are not what I call in the area of logic, where you're given instructions, but it's just a detection of things, right? You just detect the presence or the absence of some things. Whereas the sense of sight and the sense of hearing, even in the physical realm, are our more powerful senses. Why? Because, and in fact, the sense of sight is more powerful than the sense of hearing. So when we hear some things, we could detect more things. Right? Our sense of hearing can detect more things because of the communication realm, verbal communication. We could communicate alone. Imagine, just imagine, it should not be, I mean, because you're walking perfectly with God, as you should be perfect with all your five senses. But imagine what it would be like to be without sight and without hearing. Do you know we literally cannot communicate to you? Think about that. Imagine if you're without sight and without hearing. At least some of those without hearing has sight. Do you know the whole of sign language is based on sight? And even those who are blind, at least they could develop their sense of touch and learn Braille because of hearing. They could feel it, and then somebody says, A. Next one. They feel what B is like, the dots. And they say, B. So then they could pronounce it. Okay, this shape is A. This shape is B. And then they could learn to speak. But imagine if the sight and hearing are gone. You literally become just a vegetable that can smell, touch, and taste, and that's all. There's no way we could give you an education. How? No way we could contain and educate your soul. How? With a sense of smell, touch, and taste. Smell, touch, and taste. Correct, right? How can we give you an education? Can you imagine that? How to give you an education? If I use instructions, you wouldn't hear. No, all you will be good for is just to sit in a corner and we feed you. That's all. There's no way we could communicate. In that circumstances, pray for healing, right? So we realize that in this world, we use more a lot of the sight and the hearing for education. It's the sense of sight and hearing that brings us an education. That we could learn. That we could educate our soul. Teach. And learn. The process of learning that as we know it today in the natural realm. Now when we move into the spirit realm, see the natural realm is patterned after the spirit realm. In the spirit realm, the sense of sight and the sense of hearing are so important that we classify them under the voice of the human spirit. Because through these two senses, you could learn. You could be educated in the spirit realm. If you could hear the voice of your human spirit clearly, you would receive an education from the spirit realm. Why the spirit man could tell you, this is the spiritual A. This is the spiritual B. Spiritual A, B, C. And the spirit man could educate you as you read the word. Spirit man will say, this is what the word says. This is what it means. Through the sense of hearing and the sense of touch. And the word here used in Acts chapter 14 is a sense of sight. This perception, the perception of the spirit man is in those two realms. Sense of sight and a sense of hearing. Generally, if you want to use the word perception generally, used in the Bible, right, you could say any perception, whether sensation or anything, is a perception. But we want to use it specifically in the realm of educating our soul. Our soul needs communication. Then we need to move into the realm of sight and the realm of hearing from the spirit man. What Paul was doing here was, as he was preaching, he saw this man. There was no reaction, there was no action at all from the man, apparently, physically, outwardly. He was just lying down, he was crippled, without strength in his legs. As Paul was preaching, he saw, he perceived in his spirit. And he saw faith. It would be easy for us to see faith in a person if they say something and they do something. We could tell by your actions and your words how much faith you have. The man has not said anything, nor has he done anything. He was just lying down. It definitely is a perception of the spirit man that Paul could see. Now for Jesus, he operated in ginosko. Ginosko means that the sense of sight and the hearing operate all at once together. There's complete understanding. Complete understanding.
Here Paul perceived in his spirit man, he saw faith in a person. We can sometimes see, tune our spirit man to see. You remember how we touched? This all links up to what we have touched so far. You remember after teaching on the mind of the spirit, we talked about the two realms of the mind, natural mind, the spiritual mind. And we talked about how the spiritual mind and the natural mind is divided into two sections. The part of us that is logical, the part of us that is visual, perception side, dialogismos and dianoia. And how if dianoia and dialogismos work together, it's perfect. It ties up to this. Sense of sight, perception, Paul saw faith in a person. Let's apply, for example, you could have you could be an electrical engineer and you're praying about certain area, like this fellow, Harold Hill, who wrote the book, How to Live Like King's Kid, right? And the term King's Kid was started by him. And he is an engineer, electrical engineer. And so he used to supervise a lot of junior engineers. And sometimes there's an electrical problem in a whole place. And you got to solve the problem. So what does he do? He apply his spirit man. He lives like King's Kid. And so he go to the place, he starts praying in tongues. As he prays in tongues, sometimes God give him a vision. In the vision, he sees the exact place where the electrical problem is. He goes direct to it. While the other engineers have worked at it for days and they cannot solve the problem, he goes straight to that section. And the engineer says, no, no way it could be in that area. He says, no, you check and see. It will be in that area. And he checks and sure enough, they got the problem solved in 15 minutes. Isn't it powerful how to be led by the Spirit? Sometimes they come in visual form. And that is perceiving, in the other word, oral, visual form. Now there's a perception by a different man in the book of Acts chapter 8, using the same word. Acts 8, that is by Peter. If I understand how the usage of the Greek is used, I know roughly how it manifested to him. This is the area of what we call Simon, the magician, and Peter. Simon was a new Christian. He was born again, but there were still bondages in his life. And he tried to offer money for spiritual gifts. And he got sharp rebuke from Peter. And besides rebuking him, Peter says a lot of other things. He says in verse 22 and 23, Acts 8, 22, 23, "Repent therefore of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity." Notice what Peter says here. I see, or I perceive. Old King James says, I perceive. I see that you are poisoned by bitterness, bound by iniquity. Using the same word, see, the sense of sight. And in the old King James, it's not so clear because everything they translate as perceive. But New King James, when they use the word horror, they translate as see. Of course, he has to be seeing in the spirit realm, because from the natural, there could be nothing that you could detect. But Simon, he may be a well-dressed person, right? There's no way you could see that he's bound or poisoned. What that word conveys in the Greek is this, that the perception that Peter has was from the visual area of his spirit. And what probably Peter had was, as he looked, he saw something. He may have seen some sort of darkness or something, a picture, an x-ray picture of Simon the magician. X-ray eyes, right? To see and perceive. And we need to pay attention to that, because sometimes when you're praying in a certain direction, some people only tune to their ears, spiritual ears, not to their spiritual eyes. Like last week, wasn't it, that we were illustrating with you, right? Let's say he's praying about his job, right? So as he prays, he may hear certain, he may feel with his five senses a spirit, trouble or not trouble, peaceful or not peaceful, right? And last week you mentioned that you feel trouble if you're thinking of not working, and you feel peaceful when you're thinking of working, right? So you know roughly the direction, but where? Right? So he roughly know the area, rough area, perhaps in a legal firm that has to do with his education. Then as he prays, you see he's sensing in the spirit. What he's trying to sense the direction is only from one realm, the sensational realm. Perhaps it's a wrong word, because the word sensational means spectacular in the English. Okay, the sensory realm. Right, these English words are funny sometimes. Right, sensory realm. Right, I cannot use sensual because it refers in the English to the physical realm. But I want to emphasize the word that is in the realm of feeling type. Perhaps the right word is sensory. Right. So the sensory realm, the realm of his spirit man, touch, taste, feel. Not physical man, but spirit man. See, how do I know that? Because he's just sensing the peace or no peace. He's using that realm to sense direction. Now, some people develop really that realm. And if all you have is that realm, right, you can go that far, but you need to go a little further. Now, as he opened his hand in the spirit, I'm not talking about cooking something up when there's nothing there. Don't try. But just remaining yielded to the Lord. See, in the book of 1 Kings, talk about Elijah, how he went to the mountain. And on the mountain, they got all kinds of manifestation, and until he heard a still, small voice. Then he quickly go out to hear God. He recognized the still, small voice. There are many Hebrew words for the word still. There's the word still that we sing and say, be still and know that I am God. Do you know it's a different Hebrew word? That word still actually means yield. It's the word Rapha. Remember? Jehovah Rapha, the God, my healer. It's a different still. Some people think that word still means shh. And they say, quiet. Shh. They say, they ask you to be quiet in a noisy tone. That is not that word. There's another real word, right, to refer to that. It will have been a different word for that stillness. Physical stillness. But it's more the word yield. Be yielded and pliable. And know that he's God. And the word still, in 1 Kings, when Elijah heard a still small voice, is the word that means calm. A calm and peaceful stillness. Different. So it conveys a peaceful voice. Now when we want to be directed by God, we sense that peaceful voice, that loving voice, that gentle voice. How do we detect that? Galatians 5 verse 22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. I'm sorry, my memorization is still in Old King James. Trying to get it to the new. And do you notice that the purpose of Galatians chapter 5 is to teach us to be led by the Spirit? If you read the context in Galatians, let's just run quickly to that first. We are referring to the context. In verse 16, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 18, look at verse 18. If you are what? Led by the Spirit. Now the purpose of him writing about the gifts of the fruit of the Spirit is so that we will know how to be led by the Spirit. How to follow the Spirit. So anything that has love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, will be the confirmation of the leading of the Spirit. Anything opposite of that is not the Spirit. Now, all this refer to the sensory realm of the Spirit man. The peaceful voice. The peaceful sensation. We are asking, he has peace or no peace in what he's been directed. Now, that is only the level one. Level one being led by at that realm. Although, about 95% of leading could be in that realm. Right? Together with hearing the voice. But there's another realm, hearing, and another realm, seeing. So some people tune to the hearing part. They tune to the hearing part, and they would sense more things. And some people tune not only to the hearing, but to the seeing part. So the next time you pray for direction, remember there are three levels. Level one, sensory, just that sensation. Level 2, hearing included. Hearing of the voice of the Spirit man. Level 3, seeing included. Seeing is included. And we need to tune ourselves to all those three realms. And this is still in the realm of the Spirit man. We haven't even touched on the voice of the Holy Spirit yet, right? Those are coming, akan datang, right? We're just building on this Spirit man. We have to train our Spirit man how to be led. You know, let our Spirit man lead us in the things and affairs of life. So there are three levels. Say there are three levels in developing the Spirit man. So at that second and third level, it's where you can have the complete leading developed from the Spirit man. And as I illustrated, men of God, women of God, develop that in a special way. They not only have a tuning to the anointing upon, but they develop the Spirit man. Remember, everything that you do, whether in the ministry or in life, depends on the strength of your Spirit man. You could be called to be an apostle, but if your Spirit man is not developed, it cannot flow through powerfully either. Because Paul says in Romans chapter 1 verse 9 that he did it by his Spirit within him. And that's how some people prophesy, see? Some people, when they pick up someone, they straight away, I would tune to all three realms. I tune to my inward witness, I tune to the voice, and I tune to the any what I call perception or seeing. So I could pick it up, and I straight away pick a picture. Right? For me, the visual occurs very quickly. And I could pick a picture, and I see my brother here like a bird on a nest, right? And a bird on a nest is not sitting on the egg. Maybe it's for you to see on the eggs. And I see him picking up, you know, sticks there. This bird is picking up sticks and bringing it. And I begin to see what the bird is doing. It's building the nest. Building the nest. A nest represents shelter, it represents protection. The Lord is saying, take your place. That is where I began to hear from the hearing realm, level 2. Right? And the hearing level or level 2, you know, I began to have a gist of the message that God is speaking. And so the first word starts with take. So I use the word take. Right? Say, the Lord say, take your place as the head of your family, as the head of your house. Take your place boldly, say the Lord, and be bold, say God. Do not fear, for he has given you enough strength, he has given you the ability. Take your rightful place that you have been having all the time. And God is going to cause you to build a spiritual home. God is going to cause you to be the spiritual head over your family. Right? So, you could pick things up in your spirit man. Right? The seeing, hearing, and the sensation. And as a minister to him, I feel good about it in my spirit. So that's the illustration of things of how that operate. And so we see here that Paul perceived, Peter perceived. And that word perceive in the Old King James is not so clear, but the New King James they put see. Spiritual sight. Right? We got to just get two more scriptures before we close. And remember I said there are three occasions, and let's look at Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23, verse 6. But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "I am a Pharisee." This is the word perceive, a different Greek word, theorio. Theorio. And that word talks about a special signal from God. Theos, right? Theo is God. Theorio is a perception from God. So there is a perception that he's having from God. And it's a heightened sensation of the spirit, man. And it could mean all three realms operating together. See, it's different to operate one realm, two realms, and three realms. The reason many people, when they watch a video and remember it better than a cassette, is because it has a visual impact, right? And here is where you can train your memory to remember things. I always do some sight reading here and there, good stuff, and do a bit of speed reading to catch up. And I have an intense curiosity on everything. So there was this book that I speed read through on one of the men with the most powerful memories. And he was telling about how he remembered things. And he says, when he think about something that he has to remember, he tried to get more of his senses involved in remembering it instead of one. And he's talking about physical senses, my friend. Like, for example, if I have an experience with you and I meet you, right? Perhaps we had lunch together. Maybe you use a particular cologne, right? And maybe your hair had a unique curl, right? And maybe your name had a unique sound, like Habakkuk Te, or Tan Ato, right? Or something. Or maybe when I met you and you introduced yourself, you were wearing a red shirt, white pants, and purple tie with pink polka dots. It had a visual impact on me, and your name stuck. I get introduced once and I remembered you. I can introduce so many people that, you know, I cannot remember sometimes people's names. So sometimes honestly then I say, what's the name? Sometimes I meet people on the street, they say, only the other day I was just, you know, there in the supermarket, and this guy came and say, you know me? And I always have to play safe. You must have been to the church. Sometimes right, sometimes wrong. And sometimes because they read a book or heard a tape or something. And so I said, I don't quite remember. And were you the one who came the other day and prayed for tuberculosis? Okay, say, oh, no, not me, I don't have tuberculosis. And so he says, he has been here 2 years ago. And he still remembered. I didn't recognize him at all. And he recognized. And I couldn't picture his face or his name. Couldn't link. See, sometimes it's hard to remember. Now, how do we remember something? What about when you study? What helps you to remember? What helps in memorizing? Involve more of your senses. And this guy was saying, when he think about a person's name, like Mr. Tanakao, right? Easy name to remember, right? But let's say it's a Westerner trying to remember Chinese names, right? Or Indian names, right? Like, Anataraj. Like, I mean, they got a problem there. They can't even pronounce it. And your name is Anataraj, right? Yeah. You see, I remember some of their detailed names. And Tanakao. So how do I remember Tanakao? Let's say I'm a Westerner. You know, I have difficulty with all these Chinese names, right? And when I think about the person, I picture the sun and somebody sitting sunbathing, wearing glasses, having a suntan. Right. And then the next picture is someone yawning. Ah. The third picture is a cow. Right. Not that the person looks like a cow, but it helps me to remember. So some of your techniques you use, you don't tell people because it'd be too embarrassing for them. And so, no. So the next time this person meets that tang ah cow again, the three pictures flash, right? The person with the suntan, and perhaps if the person's skin is more tan, then it also helps to remember. And then the person yawning, ah, and the cow passing by, cow, you never forget that person again. All right, now I you know, please don't overdo it, of course. I tell you, people who come to our church never forget you. They say, the lady who always dance. Hallelujah. Now that is a compliment, right? Okay. Praise God. And so, now there are certain things. Why visual impact? That's why you remember more with visual impact. And more of your senses. Okay? And so in the spirit realm it's the same. Right? That's just a truth or some knowledge in the physical realm that helps us remember. In the spiritual realm, there can be a greater impact when all three levels operate. Greater impact. All three operate. And you don't forget, like there are occasions when I have ministered when all three levels were functioning and the anointing was tangible. I never forgot those times. Right? It's too real to forget. There's an impact that is made. And so in the same way, Teorio speaks about the total impact. So what Paul was experiencing was a very strong perception. It's the Pharisees, mainly two groups, and all three operating, and he knew exactly what to do. For us, when we experienced Teorio, it was quite close to Jesus' Ginosko. Right? Not perfect, but quite close at the level of operation. And Paul knew exactly what to do to get out of the situation. Now the same word is used in the book of Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27 in verse 10. Paul says, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only at the cargo and ship, but also our lives." For Paul here is having the same experience, Teorio. And he completely perceives that situation. He may have a flash vision, a mini vision, Hagin calls it. He may have a troubled sensation. But if it's a troubled sensation, it could be anything still. And then he may have a word that he's hearing from the spirit man. Danger, danger. Sometimes the spirit man reminds you or tells you of things through bringing similar incidences to your memory. Let me illustrate how it operates. Like for example, sometimes when I'm counseling people, I'm talking about not the voice of the Holy Spirit yet. Alright, remember, all I'm teaching is not the voice of the Holy Spirit, that's another realm. I'm talking about the voice of the human spirit, which you can use too, and flow, let your human spirit pick up things to minister. So I could be ministering to and counseling a sister. She has not shared much to me yet. But as she conversed and shared with me, I suddenly remember another sister that I had ministered to 5 years ago. You know what God is saying? Similar problem or situation. See, my mind must be logical enough to put 1 plus 1 equals 2. That is what the spirit man trying to convey. But the spirit man conveys in that way. So, I will begin to check in that area whether the sister has a similar situation. See, sometimes the spirit man helps our conscious mind, our pneuma, to understand some things by bringing similar things to our consciousness and left for us to do the conclusion. And the relating part, file relational database, right, operating. And so That's what our spirit man is telling us in some way. Sometimes it could be a picture. When you look at somebody and you could pick up a picture from somewhere in your past, where God could be using that even to talk about the future of somebody else. Right? So our mind must be renewed to begin to dialogismos correctly. You can dialogismos wrongly and reach a wrong conclusion. And that's the part that is important for us to learn how to understand what the spirit man is bringing forth. Now, theorio speaks about all three levels operating, which Paul is having. Whatever Paul's sensation at that time means all three levels are operating. Praise God. So today we are just touching on perceiving in the spirit and what it means. Right? We continue on that. Praise God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for your precious word. We ask, O God, that you seal the understanding to each heart and each life, that we could learn to be led by your spirit. We could learn, O God, to be sensitive to what your spirit is saying in these last days. Thank you, Father God, for opening our spirits up to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's rise together. Praise God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, think I lost my way, but still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please hold me to your side. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Praise God, give Jesus a clap offering. God bless you.